What's up, guys? Welcome to Sooze Podcast. My name is Salman Ali, at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Craig Ackerman, the new full-time play-by-play broadcaster of the Houston Rockets. First of all, how does that sound? I know it's got to feel good.
Salman, thanks for having me on, as usual. And it feels good. Obviously, I've been doing very similar things to this for quite a while now. But yes, I'm very excited about this opportunity. I think back to the very first day that I walked into the Summit for my interview for an internship, and to think that I came from that point, which was in 1994, to where I am now. It's been a crazy, remarkable journey, and both personally and professionally, this is a really awesome moment for me.
Was there ever a point where you were nervous about this? Like, I can tell you, I was never nervous on your behalf. It felt like the obvious move, but it's obviously different when you're the person involved. Like, did you ever think there was a possibility you wouldn't get this?
I never take anything for granted in this business, so I never accept the fact that anything is a sure thing until it actually happens. And then, frankly, once you get those opportunities, I still don't take anything for granted in this business, because you could be replaced at any moment. So I try to do my best with every chance that I'm given, try to make the most of it, and continue to work hard and do what I think has made me successful to this point. And so even though I do believe that I have earned this opportunity with my performance and my resume and the time I've put in, I still don't take it for granted, and I will never take it for granted. And I will continue to, work very hard to continue to make sure that the people who ultimately make these decisions for these kinds of jobs are happy with my performance, and I can continue working in this capacity.
Well, listen, everybody knows who you are and your story, but it bears repeating because I think it's pretty cool. There aren't any big jumps. It's all incremental. Like, you literally started as an intern, as you said. You worked for the team for 14 years before getting the radio gig from Gene Peterson and Jim Foley in 2008. You worked that gig for eight years, and then you take over road games for Bill Worrell in 2016. And listen, like, however I feel about Worrell, like, he's a beloved figure here. A lot of people grew up listening to the guy call games for their favorite team. So those are big shoes to fill. And then now, 5 years later, you're taking over full-time. Listen, I've said it to you in person. I'll say it again. Congratulations, man. You truly deserve this, and you're going to be awesome.
I appreciate it. And I want to thank you and Ben DeBose. I know on a recent podcast, you guys started off with some comments about this opportunity for me, and you were very kind. And I do appreciate that very, very much. I appreciate your support there. But yeah, Jim Foley used to say, for the lack of a better phrase, that people who get these kind of jobs, literally sort of die in office, if you will. They don't come around with great frequency. And when they do, they are insanely competitive to land. And again, I have been very fortunate. And in some respects, my journey has been rather unusual in this business, in that people tend to kind of bounce around and do different things. But I've sort of literally grown up here with the Rockets, starting as an intern when I had just turned 20. I turned 47, a month and a half ago. So I've literally spent more than half of my life working for the Rockets organization in one form or another. That's pretty unusual. And again, I've just been very fortunate that I've been in the right place at the right time. Again, I think I've proven that I've earned the right to be given these opportunities, but I've been in the right place at the right time, which is a really important thing in this industry. And then I have been surrounded by a lot of people who have supported me and stuck up for me and gone to bat for me. Without any of them, there's no way I would ever be in this position now.
Well, listen, you weren't the only change to the Rockets broadcast. You have a new partner. His name is Ryan Hollins, 10-year NBA vet, played on several NBA teams, and it's catching a lot of attention that none of those teams were the Rockets. The announcement took a lot of people by surprise, I think, and it is a break from what you traditionally see. Usually it's someone who played for the team in the past. I'll say this. I'm unfamiliar with Ryan's broadcast work, but I'm aware he has experience. I know he's a good guy, and you guys know how critical I am with these League Pass broadcasters. Like, But I think Rockets fans should give him a chance. I really do. I'm really excited about the prospect of Houston getting a fresh broadcast through and through. When did you know this was coming down the pipeline? Have you talked to Ryan since? Like, what should we expect from him?
Yeah. We've communicated. And, you know, typically, I guess industry standard when you're working for representing an organization, play-by-play people tend to come from different backgrounds. Instead of somebody who's necessarily, because obviously you didn't play for the organization, right? And so play-by-play people can be brought in from a variety of places. And so that's not all that unusual. But yeah, I think it does. I don't know how many, off the top of my head, I don't know how many jobs for teams have gone to analysts that don't have some sort of a tie with that organization for one reason or another, whether they were coaching or playing with that team. So I think that a little bit of a out of left field. But let me tell you something. Ryan is a great guy, tremendous guy. He has got a lot of energy. In fact, my greatest strength, I think, is my energy. And this is going to be a work in progress because obviously he and I have never worked with one another. But I think I might have to back off on my energy a little bit because I think he's going to bring quite a bit. He knows the league, and look, he has game experience, not a ton of it, but he does. Most of the experience that people are aware of is his appearances on First Take, which is sort of a narrative driven show, a role playing show, if you will. But Ryan has done work for the Clippers. And there is a difference between working as a game analyst than as opposed to working on a show like First Take. And I think Ryan absolutely 100% has the chops to do this. And again, it will be a work in progress because he and I need to get familiar with one another. It's just like any team that's on the floor. When you put together a new group of people, it will take a while to sort of develop chemistry because there's a certain sort of rhythm and cadence that goes along with calling games. And then as you learn your partner, how they work, what they like, when they like to talk, when they don't like to talk, and vice versa, it takes a little bit of time to kind of develop that chemistry. So that's something we're going to try to develop as soon as we can. But look, he's going to be very energetic. He's going to be super enthusiastic by the Rockets. And look, if you're going to make an out-of-the-box hire, which this certainly is, with this organization, considering his two predecessors, Calvin Murphy and Matt Bullard, played for the organization, this is the time to do it. Rafael Stone was new last year. Steven Silas was hired prior to the start of last season. So they were new then, but last year was so weird and so funky, at times dysfunctional. It really was a transitional season. This is the time to kind of start from the ground floor because the team is starting from the ground floor. The organization, there are a lot of people who are working in the front office that most fans don't really know because they're more concerned with what goes on the floor with the team. But there are a lot of people who have been promoted, like Gretchen Scheer, who have been with the organization for a very long time. A lot of other people have been longtime employees with the organization who have been promoted into upper management positions that have certainly deserved those opportunities, a new chief marketing officer. There's been a lot of change in the organization. There's been significant change with the actual team in front office. And now, again, if there is a time to do this and make a change like this with the broadcast crew, I think this is the best time to do it. And again, I think with time, I think people will warm up to Ryan and the fact that he didn't play for the organization because I think he's going to do a good job.
Yeah, and your former partner also got a little bit of a promotion. He's in the front office now.
Matt's there too, and Matt's in a great place. He's very happy. I saw him out at training camp this week. He's really enjoying his new role, so he's happy with that. It's my understanding that he and Ryan Hollins have had a conversation, so Matt has been incredibly professional and classy about this, sort of welcoming him to the organization, kind of giving him some pointers and some tips from somebody who's got a lot of experience doing this, obviously more experience than Ryan. Like Kaylee and I, again, we both have conversations with Ryan, the organization. We're having some meetings tomorrow in advance of our first broadcast on Tuesday. So I'm excited. I'm ready for it.
Well, as you are aware, the Rockets only have 4 national TV games this year.
Yep.
A swift change from the past for obvious reasons, but a swift change nonetheless. Most people who watch this team this year are going to do it through their television provider in Houston or do it through League Pass, which means we're going to hear a lot of Craig, a lot of Ryan, a lot of Kaylee Griffin, and a lot of Mario Elie. So I'm looking forward to it. It really does line up, as you said, with the direction of the franchise as a whole.
If it were up to me, I would work every game. Like preseason, regular season, postseason, but obviously we have some restrictions and so forth, especially when it comes to the regular season and postseason when you have some national TV exclusivities. But that's not the case this year. This is going to be, look, Rafael Stone said it multiple times at Media Day. I think this is going to be a really fun team. Now, if you're expecting this group to, win 50 games, then your expectations are probably significantly higher than they should be. But this is a group that's really young, really athletic, really energetic. And trust me, there's a lot of talent on this roster, but it needs seasoning, it needs developing, it needs experience and growth. And again, I think it's going to be super exciting. And I kind of draw the comparison with the Astros. The Astros were awful for 3 consecutive years, losing 100-plus games. But during that time, they built themselves a homegrown core foundation of players that have ultimately ushered in what is the greatest era of Astros baseball. And for that reason, in this market, Astros fans are absolutely 100% locked in and in love with that team because their most important players have been homegrown talent. They've grown as the team has grown up, the fans have grown up with the team. And I think the Rockets are in a fairly similar situation now, obviously at the very bottom floor here, but let's hope that us and the players and the fans, we can all work and grow together. And in a handful of years from now, I think when the team does get back, hopefully maybe sooner than that, but within 3 to 5 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, when this group grows and gets experience, then the passion, excitement, and love affair with the team could be the same way that it's been with the Houston Astros over the last handful of years.
So let's talk about the young Rockets. I just spent 4 painstaking days commuting to Galveston to cover Rockets training camp, and I've come to regret it, honestly. I should have just gotten a hotel, but that's besides the point. We have a lot of storylines here to dig into, and I want to start with Jalen Green because this was my first week being around him, and there's just something different covering these guys through TV and Zoom versus doing it in person. For example, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but Jalen just has like a quality or like an aura about him that you can tell pretty quickly he's one of the most important people in the room. Like, I've been around Harden, Westbrook, and Paul, and they all got this quality. And it shocked me because I didn't really expect to get that vibe from him, but I did. Like, the way he carries himself, the way he interacts with his teammates and all the other stuff, like, you can just tell that this dude is going to be a star without any knowledge about him. And he's got this level of polish about him that you don't see from other rookies. Like, he gets it. He knows why he's here. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, or am I sounding crazy?
No. He's a very mature young man. Very mature. And look, he's been dealing with the basketball spotlight since his early days of high school. I mean, there have been a lot of eyes on him for a very long time. Obviously took a step to forego college and go into the G League. And so there was some scrutiny along with that, played well in the G League, obviously in a very brief time after being selected by the Rockets. He did not quell any of the excitement for him with his appearances in the Vegas Summer League. And watching him in training camp, he is as explosive as advertised, has a really good looking shot. Obviously, he's got incredible athleticism, good size, very poised, very mature. I think all of those things are qualities that an organization is looking for in a player that will, if he's not already sort of fronting the organization in that capacity, very soon will be. And I think he's absolutely prepared for that. I think he's going to have a very good year. I think obviously with young players, especially when you're a teenager, there are going to be some down moments, but I think as he learns and grows, and again, that's what I think that the most exciting thing is about this season is that there is a lot of intrigue in how this group will grow and mesh with him and Kevin Porter Jr. in the backcourt. Yeah, I'm excited. And I think Jalen Green is, I think he's everything that you want for a player who comes in with the amount of hype that he came into the league with, that it looks like he is going to be able to not only physically deal with the rigors of playing in the league, but I think he's going to emotionally going to be able to handle it as well. And so I think the organization is very happy with where they are. And he is right now, obviously just a week into his first true NBA experience.
Yeah. He's just so smooth. And like, I think that comes from his experience in the G League. All his movements feel natural. He's got vet moves. Like there's this, he knows how to do the crab dribble, which is basically when you use your butt to kind of block off the guy and then go for the floater.
The LeBron James move.
Yeah, the Chris Paul move, like all those vets know. I just know he picked that up in the G League. I know someone just talked, and it's funny. Like, you know, before training camp, he talked about how he felt like a second year pro, and like 4 days into training camp, he's like, "Yeah, this game's just way faster than what I was accustomed to." So there's still going to be an adjustment process.
No question.
As polished as we're talking about, like he definitely needs to get adjusted to the pace of the NBA game, the strength of NBA defenders, the athleticism of NBA defenders. It's still going to be some growing pains, but he does have everything you would want out of that kind of prospect.
Yeah, and underscore pace, because this team, I think, might end up leading the league in pace. They are going to play ridiculously fast this season. So, they're going to be pushing it every single chance they get, because this team, what is this team's current strength, the known strength? Well, they're young and athletic, so they're going to play to that strength, which means they're going to get up and down the floor. They're going to try to use their athleticism to their advantage. And again, I think that's one reason amongst many, this is going to be a really fun team to watch, even if they don't ultimately win a whole lot.
And it's becoming pretty clear to me that the biggest storyline of training camp has become Kevin Porter Jr. Obviously, because of the John Wall news a few weeks ago, we all know he's going to be the starting point guard. He also had a pretty deep media day. Like, he said the Rockets saved his life, and that's a pretty heavy thing to say. One doesn't say that lightly. In the media, we obviously took that quote, analyzed it, and ran with it, obviously. But I had no idea the level of investment Houston had in him being successful until this week. Like, they obviously cleared their deck for him to start. They've had John Lucas and Steven Silas attached to him at the hip to make sure he keeps his nose clean off the court. And I think he's going to have a usage rate that surprises people this season. Like, he's going to have the ball a lot. And this is a pretty critical season for him. It's not always the case, but that third season is usually where players take that leap. He's extension eligible this summer, and I find him to be the most compelling storyline of the team this season. What have you thought about him coming out of camp?
I think everything that you basically mentioned is true. They are going to ask him to orchestrate pretty much everything for them on the floor. It's going to be his responsibility to make sure that not only does he get himself involved, but he gets his teammates involved. He is going to sort of be the straw that stirs their drink. And it's important. Look, this is no secret. The two most important things this season are the development of Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. And we saw flashes from Kevin last year, coming out of the G League, came back, got a chance to really play at the point, a position that he really hadn't played before, and really showed flashes of someone who could absolutely manage that position. Obviously, the game against Milwaukee where he scored 50, but people also have to remember he had like, 11 assists in that game, I believe, off the top of my head. He had other games where he was really orchestrating and creating opportunities for other players. So, yeah, they're going to ask a lot for him this year. I think he's willing to certainly accept that role. Again, I think there will still be some growing pains with him because he's playing with some new guys. And I think that the chemistry development between he and Jalen on the floor, not off, but on the floor, is going to be a very important thing to keep an eye on this year as well. How they pick their spots, you know, how much does one shoot versus the other? How do they ultimately get guys like Christian Wood and Eric Gordon going, and some of these other players were on their own the floor playing with them? And so, but yeah, I mean, I think he's in a, I think he's an incredible talent. He obviously slipped in the draft for some off the floor issues. Obviously things did not go well for him in Cleveland, with the exception of the game he played against the Rockets up in Cleveland, where he was spectacular. But I think he's crazy talented. He's got tremendous size. I think he's got all of the tools to be a very good NBA basketball player. And I'm excited that, as you mentioned, the deck is cleared for him to do so.
Yeah, the passing really surprised me last year. I did not know he was that good of a passer until he came to Houston and obviously had the ball in his hands a lot. I think this is a natural role for him. I really do. If he can pass like that, like, I think I'd rather see him at the point guard position, the shooting guard position, frankly. I think Jalen Green is more of that natural scorer, and Kevin Porter Jr., while he can score, I feel like the passing is probably his gateway to staying in the NBA for a very long time.
Especially his ability at his size and athletic ability to get into the paint, collapse the defense, and then kick out. So, and I think the Rockets made the right decision. I think a lot of people are like, well, they're going to play him at point guard. They thought it was a head scratcher, but the Rockets coaches and front office knew what they were doing when they sent him down to the G League, not only just to kind of get settled, but they wanted him to learn to play point guard. And I think that was a positive development again, which we saw in the second half of last season. And I can't wait to watch it again beginning here in the preseason.
So I came into camp really wanting to write about Alperen Şengün. As listeners of the show know, Şengün is one of the few players I was really high on coming out of the draft. He was polarizing to a lot of people, but I thought he was one of the handful of players in this draft that had legitimate star potential. His tape from the BSL was extremely fun. Like, this dude was a beast. Oh, by the way, the BSL is the Turkish league. This dude was a beast. He had the strength. He had the touch around the basket, all the fakes and counters in the world, and he was a great foul drawer. He got to the free throw line a ton. Good pick and roll guy, which, you know, you might not expect from him, but he did that a lot in Turkey. And phenomenal passer, like no look passes for days.
Off the charts good passing the ball, off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, it just finds cutters all the time. I think in the beginning, it takes a while to get used to, right? Because you're not used to someone seeing plays develop that quickly or knowing anticipating where you're going to be that quickly. So there's going to be a lot of butterfingers moments. But as you get used to it, you're gonna catch that ball. And Rockets players were kind of talking about this throughout training camp. What really surprised me is the Jokic comparisons. Like as I was asking players about him, like Jokic just kept coming up unprompted. And that's like, listen, that was the MVP of the league last year. That kind of comparison is nuts. I think, you know, it's a little lofty, but it does tell you how people view him. Like, he has that kind of touch and that passing ability. And so I asked Steven Silas and multiple players about him as I was collecting quotes for the story, and I was ready to publish on Friday. In fact, I had a conversation with my editor, and I was like, you know what? I want to wait a day before we publish. I want to speak to Şengün one more time. And lo and behold, the next day I hear from multiple people that Şengün absolutely destroyed the scrimmage that Houston had. Remember, the media wasn't allowed in, but I asked Silas that day right away, and he was like, yeah, that guy destroyed. And I can't wait for Rockets fans to get to see him in a bigger role. That guy's going to be fun.
He's crazy talented. Like, there's legitimate reasons to be super excited about Jalen Green, which are the obvious reasons that sort of every fan of the team kind of I've walked into the grocery store and I'm asked, well, how's Jalen Green looking? So people are excited about Jalen Green for obvious reasons. He was a second overall pick, but I'm telling you, man, there is a lot of reasons to be excited about Alperen Şengün. I could, this is just my opinion here. I would be very surprised if he spends any time in the G League.
No, he's not playing in the G League. I think he's going to be the backup center right away.
He's been playing pro ball against grown men for a couple of years now. The Rockets have 5 19-year-olds right now on their preseason, their training camp roster. He's the youngest of the group, but he is super talented. He's got – I admit, I don't follow a whole lot of European basketball, so I didn't know a lot about him. The first time I started hearing about him was when everybody was coming up with their mock drafts and their breakdowns of the draft and so on and so forth. Watched him in summer league and was like, wow, he's really good. Seeing him in person for the first time, he's got a very strong lower half, thick legs, strong base, which I think ultimately as he gets older, he will continue to put on weight, which is a good thing. I think he's got the type of body frame that will bulk up, and he's not small as it is right now at 19, barely 19. But yes, he can pass, he can shoot, he can finish around the rim. He's got a great touch and feel to the game. He just knows how to play at a very young age. And I think at Media Day or maybe shortly thereafter, he mentioned that with all due respect to his teammates, that his goal was to be the rookie of the year this year in the NBA. And I certainly think he has the talent. How much playing time ultimately he gets, I think, will determine that. But I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with him as well. I'm telling you, the organization, they were head over heels when they were able to pick him up in the draft in that trade. They didn't think he was going to last that long, and they didn't think they would have an opportunity to get him, but they did. And I think I think Oklahoma City will ultimately really regret trading him, because I think he's a very unique talent.
The whole draft process with him was so puzzling, because he really should not have fell that far, and Oklahoma City really should not have traded him. I recognize two future first round picks is a lot, and the idea of what they can become is tantalizing, right? But it's two mystery boxes. If anybody says to you that they know what those picks are going to become, they're lying to you. Because of those protections, they're so hard to predict. They could be lottery picks, but you don't know. So it's one of those things where, like, I get it. I get the idea of it. But Şengün is just way too talented to pass up on, in my opinion. Like, I thought he was a top seven pick in this draft. Like, I thought he was that freaking good. And it was one of those moves where it's like, yeah, the Rockets see this too. And they called like 10 plus teams about him, trying to move up and get him, which is nuts. But like, you can tell that was something they set their eyes on heading into the draft. And he's crazy talented. That quote you mentioned about him being rookie of the year, that was a money quote, and I think Kaylee Griffin got it. I know she was really excited when she got it too. He's ultra confident, man. He wants to be a star. He thinks he's going to be a star.
He's going to be part of the rotation. There's no question about it. And I think ultimately where he's going to be at his best is in the high post, just like Jokic, because he has good. So obviously he's not quite as big as Jokic is, but he's got the ability to see the floor and pass and create. I think Rockets fans are going to be very excited about him now, just like Jalen Green and Josh Christopher and Usman Garuba. There's going to be growing pains with very young players like this. So there will be times where they look like 19-year-old rookies playing against polished professionals. But I think you're going to notice the skill set and the talent for him and Jalen Green right off the bat, which should get you even more excited about what ultimately can be this team's future once these guys grow and mature.
Yeah, it was funny hearing people talk about how they weren't, in the beginning, they just weren't prepared for those passes at all. Like, they just weren't expecting it. There was actually a play in the summer league where, like, Jalen Green, I don't think he was in the vicinity of the basket. And, Şengün caught him for a nutmeg pass right next to the basket. Jalen Green didn't know what to do with it, so he passed it up to a shooter. But he was right there for the layup. And then Green knew right away, I messed up, I should have put that up. And after that play, you could tell, like, he's been cutting, even in training camp, DJ Augustine, Jalen Green, and Josh Christopher, all three of those guys have been cutting around the basket, trying to get in position for some of these passes. But it's crazy. It is crazy how fast he is with seeing that kind of stuff.
And I've been very impressed with Christopher, too. He's got a big, strong body for being a young guy, super athletic. As we saw in the summer league, that guy's effort level is, like, off the charts good. Which is kind of half the battle in a lot of cases. I think he's, he needs to really obviously work, and they are working on improving his consistency with with his jumper, but I think he's another, again, another young player that on down the line is going to be a pretty significant contributor to this team.
Yeah, he surprised me in summer league. Like he was somebody I did not think was going to be drafted in the first round, and he showed up to summer league and showed that he absolutely should have gotten drafted in the first round. He looked really good. He looked really good. So let's talk about these vets, because the over under right now for this team is 27.5. I think last time I checked, and I think they're going to hit the under, but if they hit the over on that, it's because of these vets. And I'm really talking about Eric Gordon and Christian Wood. Eric Gordon looks really good in training camp from by all accounts. He yes. looks like one of the best players there. Christian Wood, looks good. He's apparently, you know, he came into camp a little bit rusty. You know, he's gotten progressively adjusted, and he looks really, really good. What have you thought about how these vets have performed in training camp?
I think what Steven Silas coming out of the scrimmage yesterday, I think he said it best. He mentioned that as each day has progressed, Christian Wood has gotten better. And I was out there three times this week. So I was out there the first 2 days, and then I was out there at the scrimmage. I would agree with that assessment that Christian Wood has significantly gotten better as each day has progressed. I expect him to have another impactful season. Eric Gordon is healthy. And which is obviously the biggest concern with him. Although in the beginning of his Rockets tenure, he was generally speaking pretty much 100% healthy the entire time up until the last, couple of years, but he's going to be a key component. I'll be honest. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to end up, using him, this season. I don't know if he's going to end it. Well, I guess we'll try to find out. We'll find out Tuesday, but that may or may not mean anything. But they've sort of been alternating players in with that first group. But obviously, Eric's going to have to provide, along with Christian Wood, with these young guys, veteran leadership, knowledge, some patience as these young players work through some of the growing pains. Last year, obviously, Eric was just amazing, finishing around the rim. He shot 75% at the rim last year, which is a career high. His three-point shot struggled last year, so hopefully that is corrected this year, because I still think one of the big what-ifs for this group going in is they were a bad three-point shooting team last year. Can they find any sort of consistency from the three-point line to keep the floor spread, keep driving lanes open, and so forth? And so guys like Eric Gordon are going to play a big role in whether or not this team has some improvement in that regard. So they're going to lean on him heavily. He and DJ Augustine, you can't get rid of everybody, right? You got to have some vets around. And look, to John Wall's credit, he has been amazingly professional in all of this. I would love to know how all of that came forth, how the two sides ultimately came to what appears to be a pretty harmonious consensus agreement on what his situation is going to be. And again, the times that I've been out at camp, John has been a mentor and a teacher. He's pulled guys like Kevin and Jalen Green aside, and he's playing a role that you wouldn't expect somebody in his position to do, especially under these circumstances. But again, credit to him. And so guys like Eric Gordon, again, DJ Augustine, guys who are going to be playing and part of their rotation, not only is their job to do what they need to do on the floor, but to provide mentorship and help with the young guys when they make some mistakes so that they hopefully don't repeat them very often moving forward.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I personally just believe that if Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't on this team, the decision wouldn't be as harmonious as it had become. I just think he made it so obvious that the Rockets had to get a good look at him at the starting point guard. And Wall, you know, obviously he's an NBA vet, probably the best guard on this team talent-wise, was not comfortable coming off the bench. And fair enough, like, that's not something he should be doing at this point in his career. He wants to start somewhere. So I think that's probably what moved the needle there. But
he missed two seasons. So, and he came back last year. I think this is the best thing for the organization, and I applaud John Wall with this unprecedented amount of professionalism that he's showing. I think he should absolutely be commended for this, should be lauded for this, because quite honestly, he didn't have to do any of this with what who he's been and what he's accomplished in his career. And it does look like he's going to be a positive springboard and mentor for the players who are ultimately playing instead of him, which is unusual.
Yeah, it doesn't feel awkward at all. Like, I think some people try to portray it that way. I don't think
it's not.
Yeah, it feels like very, like, you know, harmonious, as you said. It just feels like they're something they want to do, and everybody agrees that it's the right thing to do.
He and Rafael Stone, I didn't know that was coming, right? They came onto this, they did their press conference together. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think right then and there, you knew that both parties were on the same page. And again, so credit to John, credit to Rafael Stone and Steven Silas, that they were able to, come to what appears to be a professional, harmonious agreement between all sides.
Yeah, I want to go back to Eric Gordon really quick, because I think right now he is one of the most underrated players in basketball right now. I think people seem to look at his contract, think he's this overpaid, over-the-hill vet, and I just don't view him that way, man. I think he's one of the best role players in the NBA. And at one point he was exactly that. I mean, he played in some of the biggest games in the NBA for a 2 or 3 year stretch with the Rockets, right? With Chris Paul and obviously with Westbrook, like that. Like, he was so important to those Rockets teams. And I think, listen, we don't have to talk about trades right now. I think there's going to be a lot of suitors, like, after half a season with Eric Gordon. I think he's going to look really good. I really do. I think he's going to have a really great season. On to Christian Wood. So what's unusual is that what you keep hearing about him is that he's taken on this, like, vocal leadership role with the team. And that's something I didn't expect. He's 26 years old. That's very unusual for him to want to take on, right? Like, normally players that age just want to be, like, the best player they can possibly be, you know, like, just, you know, go about their business. And, you know, as far as the leadership stuff, you leave that to the vets. But he as of right now, is going to be the second oldest player in the starting lineup, right? He's going to be one of the vets of this team. His voice is going to carry significant weight in that locker room. What have you thought about that? Like, that's just it's a very strange development, but I do think it's something to watch this season.
Well, somebody has to step up and take that, right? Eric Gordon is a pretty quiet and unassuming individual. That's just his personality. DJ Augustine, again, a vet who is a backup point guard, so you're not really going to have your team leader. That does, you know, obviously Jalen Green comes in as the number 2 overall pick, but he's 19 years old. And Kevin Porter is, what, 20, 21 now. So Christian Wood is somebody who put up all-star-like numbers last year. Quite honestly, I thought there are a lot of people who deserve to be in the all-star game. I certainly think that his production deserved some recognition as an all-star last year, the way that he played. Supremely talented individual, as you mentioned. He's, you know, depending upon whether or not Eric Gordon ends up starting on a regular basis, again, we'll have to kind of find out as we find out with the way that Steven Silas works his lineups and rotations. But he's going to be a guy who's going to be playing a lot of minutes, and he's going to be playing a central role with this team. He is someone who obviously has a pretty intriguing backstory himself, as he's had to grind for everything that he's accomplished in his career. He finally feels like he has found a home and an opportunity to kind of play a central role. And I think that's a good thing. And so long as his production is basically 20 and 10 and shooting 37%+ from three every night, as it was last year, and he can stay healthy and keep those ankles from getting sprained, I'm all for it, because I think that he has as much talent as anybody on this team, and they're going to need him to play big. And if he does, and he steps up and he takes that vocal role, so be it.
Yeah, the big thing with him is obviously going to be the defense. Like, if he can become a better defender, right? That's the one thing missing with him. If he can become, like, an above average defender, right? Instead of where he's at right now, which is, like, slightly below average, I would say. If he can become, like, an above average this season, and what's interesting is that he wants to be someone who can switch on the ball in pick and roll this season defensively, which is going to be interesting to see how the Rockets decide to do that, right? They obviously have Tyson in the lineup, right? So they're going to be playing more of a drop back scheme when those two are on the floor together. But I do think that those guys are going to switch more next season, kind of harkening back to the old Rockets teams. And how he does in switches is going to be fascinating. I don't know. The Rockets really didn't switch that much last season. That's going to be interesting. And, you know, as far as the All-Star conversation, really the defense is the only thing he has left. And, you know, obviously team winning, but I don't know how one player can impact winning that much to really make that much of a difference. I think really with him, if he can become a better defender, that All-Star spot's going to be there for them. It's hard. He's in the Western Conference. There's a ton of really talented players, particularly at the forward position, because the forwards are just kind of...
Yeah, they're all grouped together.
Yeah, it's a really tough position to crack. But if he can get better defensively, he has a chance. It's really hard, but he has a chance.
But getting better defensively is going to be... I mentioned the three-point shooting. I think that's one important key for this team this year. Can they go from being bad to not bad as a three-point shooting? I'll just leave it at that. I still don't expect this team to be amongst the elite three-point shooting teams in the league, but they can't be poor, or at least that should be the goal defensively, not only for Christian Wood, but where's Kevin Porter Jr. in his development as a defender? Where's Jalen Green going to be as a defender in this league? I think having a healthy David Nwaba, who's looked good in camp, as has Daniel House, will certainly help in that regard. Eric Gordon, when he's healthy, is an outstanding defensive player himself. We have not brought up Jayshon Tate yet, and I think he's just looked tremendous in the times that I've seen him out at practice. I think he's going to have a really, really good year. And obviously, last year, he was their best overall defender. And so where can and Tice is not going to be the offensive player nowhere near that Kelly Olynyk was last year, but he's somebody who should be a significant upgrade defensively. And so again, I think how that group learns and works and grows and develops on-court chemistry, I think will go a long way towards seeing if they can go from being bottom of the league defensively to hopefully at worst, you know, they can try to get to become a league average team defensively. And if that's the case, then maybe ultimately they will surprise some people and win some more games than most people are expecting.
Yeah, Jayshon Tate's awesome. Like, he's just awesome.
He's
like,
good. Yeah.
We talked about preseason kind of being somewhat of a tell as to how training camp's going and like what the coaching staff is thinking with lineups and stuff. One of the biggest tells that Jayshon Tate was way better than we all thought he was when Steven Silas started him in preseason last year, right? Like, that was the biggest tell that this guy's doing something in training camp that's turning, you know, the heads of the coaching staff. That was certainly big, and it was right. Like, he was obviously all team defense rookie. Like, he is going to be a really important figure for this Rockets team, not only this next season, but moving forward. He's still on his rookie deal, which is, you know, it's surprising. He's 25 years old, but he's still on his rookie deal because he obviously came from overseas.
Yeah.
But he is on that rookie deal, so he's going to be under team control for a long time, going to be a part of the Rockets core for as long as they want to keep him on the Rockets core. And he can play like so many different positions. The one area of his game that just needs improvement is a three-point shooter, yeah, right? And he's obviously worked on that, but that's something that has to come around. Like, he needs to be like 34, you know, percent from three at the minimum, you know, to be like a starting caliber, starting small forward in the NBA. But I think he might have the opportunity at starting small forward next season. Like, I really do. I think the training staff, I mean, the coaching staff has kind of been experimenting, as you said, with that three spot with Eric Gordon, Jayshon Tate. So they haven't made up their mind yet, but I do think he has a chance. He's awesome. He unlocks so many different things for them lineup wise.
Absolutely. He plays so incredibly hard. He's got tremendous feel for the game as well. I don't know where he's going to end up being. I think it might be my computer. I don't know what's going on here. It's just beeping at me, so I apologize if that's coming across. I don't know ultimately where he's going to end up as a three-point shooter this season. But he gives them the opportunity, again, to kind of switch everything. He can defend multiple positions, tends to be in the right place at the right time. And again, for a team that's going to want to play hard and fast, he can handle the ball. He can be a secondary playmaker. We saw some of that last year, obviously, as well. And so I'm excited to see what round number two for Jayshon Tate is going to be this year.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this team, man. Like last season, and I've talked about this with you, like last season just felt so unimportant. Like it, nothing felt like it mattered last season.
It was tough. It was tough.
Right. And like I didn't even feel like I had to watch this team, but I refused to watch them live. I refused to sit through commercials to watch the last year's Rockets teams. I will sit through commercials next year, or I guess I won't have to because I'll be at the games. But it is going to be an exciting team to watch. I can't wait. I can't wait to listen to you on the broadcast. I can't wait to see this new AT&T crew. Thank you so much for coming on, Craig. You can obviously find Craig on AT&T SportsNet throughout the season. And where can we find you on social media?
CA_Rockets on Twitter. And again, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for all the kind words that you had about me getting this opportunity in a previous podcast. I really do appreciate that. And I'm excited. Let's do it. We got first preseason game coming up on Tuesday, so the wait is almost over.
I'll see you there, Craig.
All right, thank you.